I'm Brad Clark. My wife's Melissa, who you may know. We have three kids, Abby, Emma, and Nick, 17, 15, and 10. My topic this morning is growing up with our kids. So as Melissa and I draw close to sending our first kid off to college, certainly can relate to the adage that things move fast and it all happens in the blink of an eye. However, also know and have experienced the reality that it takes a long time to raise kids. In 2005, I had lots and lots of hair, and it was not gray. So raising kids is a process. There are ups and downs. There are successes and failures. There are seasons of parenting that you want to hang on to forever. There are seasons of parenting that you want to end as fast as possible. And we all know that. But in all this, we don't have the ability to change the hearts of our children or make them what they will be ultimately. But as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we do have the responsibility to represent him well and to treat our parenting as a stewardship. So our aim, Melissa and I, would be to set up our lives in such a way that point our children to Christ at every stage. It's really how we think about parenting. And like every good gift, our parenting belongs to God. So I just want to give a few foundational things that have anchored Melissa and I in this work. Disclaimer, we're not perfect parents. Our kids will tell you that. They have no issues disclosing that to people. Parenting is hard. We always need God's grace and mercy. But we do hope that when we're gone, our kids have a testimony that they had fallible parents that loved them, that made much of Christ. So without further ado, my five brief points, there's going to be some overlap, but I think that's a good thing. I think it shows what's important. I kept these at a high level, given the time, but happy to follow up with anyone on anything I discuss. The first one is aim to live a Christian life that is beautiful. If you desire Christ to be your child's first love, you must make him your own first love. If you are a tool in God's hand when it comes to communicating his grace and mercy to your children, let your kids see the joy that you have in Christ. Let that be a marker. I think this means a couple of things. First, it means don't go through the motions in life. Be awake. Be engaged, be intentional. Strive to make sure that Christ doesn't become an attachment to the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I fear that sometimes we treat our Christian lives more like soccer practice or a basketball game or a job or a vacation. Instead, it should be the central focus that informs all the other things that we attach to our lives, including our parenting. Our kids know what's important to us, and they respond to that accordingly. Second, how you live out your faith creates the background and context for how and why you do what you do as a parent. It will inform your temper, your willingness to seek forgiveness when you're wrong, which I contend is an incredibly important part of both marriage and parenting. Your daily priorities, really that living tension between work and family and church and hobbies. When Christ is at the center of your life, you're going to be more apt to pray through these challenges with your children, to reach out to other Christians for encouragement and strength, and to turn to God's word for wisdom. Parenting well requires all of these things. So parents, aim to live a Christian life that is beautiful before your kids. Do this in the way you serve God. Do this in your obedience. Do this in the way you talk about Jesus. Do this in the way you treat others and the way you talk about others when they're not around. Do this in how you make decisions and order your life. Do this in measuring the content that you consume through the internet, through the TV, through the radio. Do this in how you treat your spouse. We talked a lot about that. But do it in how you talk about your spouse in front of your kids as well. And then do this in how you talk about your own faults and failures and how God is gracious and merciful in those. So that's point number one, aim to live a Christian life that is beautiful. Point number two is build a biblical, God-centered foundation and family culture. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You should talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. That's Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Don't let Sunday morning be the only time your family talks about the Word of God. Make it regular and make it normal in your family. Teaching the full counsel of God and allowing Scripture to do its work in your child's heart is one of the main duties as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Teaching our children the truth of the gospel regularly is part of loving them well. Start early. Do family devotions. We did better at family devotions or family time when we were younger, and life was less complicated, but I'd strongly encourage it. There are great resources. If that's not the structure, it still has to be regular time in God's Word and praying with your kids. And when they can read, encourage independent reading of God's Word. As they grow, camp out in Scripture, encourage them more and more to dig deep. in God's Word. All of our kids came at us with good questions, sometimes the most random questions in the world, before and after they profess faith. Encourage that. Don't turn them away. Let them in. Engage with them on those. Some questions we put in the bank for when it's more age appropriate. Our kids got a little running list at our house on those. Other times it spurs really long discussions that are good. And then other times they get a book. One time Abby walked in, she asked about angels, she walked out with Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology book. That's how it rolls in our house. And I think that's good, but engage with them on those levels and dig deep, especially as they grow. In addition, God's Word has helped us navigate the most complex parts of parenting. All of our solutions to helping our kids through self-control or self-esteem issues came from God's Word, because honestly we were inadequate to deal with them apart from His Word. We tried, we failed. And in some ways we can map the seasons of our kids' lives by scriptures that we were praying with them through at that point in time. So really dig deep and build a biblical, God-centered foundation in family culture. That was point number two. Point number three is focus on developing strong relationships with your children. Sinclair Ferguson was asked how people should pray for their children and grandchildren. He responded by saying he prays that children will be bound to their mom and dad by as many strings as possible. He went on to say, if you've bonded your children to only one piece of string and it's under great pressure, you have no other avenue to get to them and they have no other avenue to you. Paul Tripp defines the parental relationship as putting content to the commitment to love. And no doubt the people in this room love their kids. They're committed to loving their kids. So the challenge is deepen that love by taking deep interest in what your kids are interested in and being available and present for them. In the early days, this means playing with your kids. Get on their level and engage with them and take interest in Legos, even though you're probably past that stage yourself. Maybe not. spend quality time and keep that going. Don't let other stuff crowd it out. Put it on the calendar if you have to, but take the time. As they grow, stay connected, work to have meaningful conversations. Relationships thrive with open communication, and don't let your kids be the ones that are always bringing that to you. Take it to them, and build those relationships. You don't have to do this, but we've kind of set up markers in our own relationship with our kids. When the girls went on an Ask Anything trip with their mom at age 11, Nick turns 11 next year. Feel free to start praying for me now on that. At age 12 and 13, Melissa and I do long weekends with them. And it's really to talk about and engage with them on, hey, you're getting ready to enter a new season of life. You're getting ready to have new challenges. This is how we're going to treat you. This is our expectations. And we really walk through those. But anyway, get to know the details of their lives. God our Father loves us, and He knows all the details about our lives. Know your kids. And I would encourage you to look back often and assess your interactions with your kids. How's it going? Has it been strained due to conflict? If so, don't let it fester. Get to the heart of the issue, and with God's help, resolve it. When something's off in our house, we feel it. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's usually my fault. I'm skilled at apologizing and seeking forgiveness, and I think it's important for parents to be good at that and to recognize when they need to do that with their kids. And honestly, now our girls will come to us when something's off. They value the relationship too, which is, I think, where you want to get to as parents. Number four, release control and shape the character of your kids. Proverbs calls us to train our children in the way they should go. Ephesians 6 commands us that we not provoke our children to anger, but that we bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. In the younger years, we relied a lot on authority and control. We focus our efforts on addressing direct disobedience, getting right from wrong because I said so. But in the early days, along the way, we did the best we could to discern how willful that disobedience was and really trying to address hard issues on the spot. Melissa and I talked a lot about patterns, and we still talk a lot about patterns that we see in our kids. And try to spot those early, be it self-esteem or self-control. We work through those with discipline, encouragement, and ultimately feeding kids truth from the Word of God in those circumstances. As they grow, however, we're called to so much more than controlling or managing behavior of our children. We're called to point them to the root cause of that behavior and the solution for it. So as your kids grow, influence replaces control. In a lot of ways, you have to meter authority and focus on the attitude and the heart issues of that behavior. So parents, pay attention. You don't want your kids to exchange the truth of God for a lie. Talk to your kids about their heart, how to guard their heart, hold them accountable, and fight for their hearts. Ask them questions about sin, and when they're Christians, ask them questions about their walk with Christ. Talk a lot about motivation and why they're doing the actions that they're doing as they grow. And engage in regular discipleship with your kids and protect that time. Don't let other stuff crowd out discipleship with your children or discipling your children. Abby and I had dinner the other night. We were in the middle of nowhere after a cross-country meet. Still couldn't tell you how to get there. We were talking about this topic, and she brought up that a good while back she came down to say goodnight. We were talking for a few minutes. All of our kids do this carousel at the end of the day where they got to come in and talk for 15 minutes about what went on. It's exhausting, but it's great. And we were asking her if she was reading her Bible every day. It's a simple question, and she admitted at that point that she had let some other things get in the way, and she thanked us for bringing it to her attention. It wasn't to shame her. You know, she's my daughter. We care. And she's also in Christ, so it's scriptural. It's a one another that we're performing with our kids. So that's one of the things that just think through that and protect that time with the kids. These are merciful things coming from parents who know they themselves need mercy. And the last point, get your kids engaged in Christian community, church community, other Christian relationships. Make sure you make a priority of engaging your children in church community. Get them involved. Let them be inspired by the faithfulness of other saints. Bring them on Sunday evenings to hear testimonies of other believers. Help them foster other Christian relationships. The affection that my kids have developed for the people at this church warms us, and it helps us as parents. It's a great joy to see our oldest daughter drive me to meet a friend for coffee and a Bible study. It's an absolute joy when she's meeting with a lady at the church to do a book study, and just seeing the smile on her face and the engagement that she has in that. So part of parenting is helping your kids thrive in developing Christian community and engaging in Christian community. They're going to need that when they're seeking in College Town USA or the next phase of their life. So be intentional as they grow in those areas. So in conclusion, I know this went quick. I think I kept my 15 minutes, although I didn't count. I hope there were at least some things that were helpful here. I think everything I discussed this morning fits into the categories of training, modeling, and discipling your kids. These are all things that you have control over as a parent, quite frankly, and you can do and engage in. So think about these categories, how they're set up in your own family dynamic, and then go to work on them. If I have one key takeaway or common thread, it's that we should desire to capture every opportunity we can to turn our kids' thoughts towards God and point toward Him. So let's pray. Father, you have ordained the family to be where our children are trained in the knowledge of God. Let us be faithful stewards of this responsibility. Let our relationship with Jesus be the very core of our lives, and let our love for Him shine through to our children. Help us to teach our kids the full counsel of your word, and we pray that you will shape their hearts through it. Lord, we want our kids to find joy in Jesus. Give us wisdom in this labor that you've called us to, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.